Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Joe McGee here. Welcome to the Heroes of Faith. Man, we're going through the book of Acts in the last few sessions. It is a fascinating story. It's where the church is born. Man, things are going every direction. It's like it is expanding everywhere. The gospel is being preached. It's unreal. Just because Jesus went to heaven, he left the 12 disciples in charge, and it then turned 12. Then it turned to 3,000 got saved, then 5,000 got saved. It's moving like a freight train. And God's still doing that today. So we're going to pick up the story in Acts chapter 23, talking about a young man saves Paul's life. Now, Paul's the great apostle. He's going to write two-thirds New Testament, praising the Holy Ghost more than anybody. He was a hit man for the Jews. Then God knocked him off his donkey for 3 days and blinded him, healed him, and then called him into the ministry. And so that's a whole story within itself, how the believers say, oh, man, this guy can't be right. This guy's been killing Christians. No, this is Paul. He's been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to write two-thirds of the book called the New Testament. This is God's man. And so even Paul's got his challenges with convincing people, hey, guys, I'm right. I'm right. So in Acts chapter 23, young man Paul's been arrested, and then he realizes, the Romans realize, hey, man, he's a Roman citizen. We can't do this to him. We're going to have to protect him. And so they're trying to protect him and get him out of the city. So the second night, Paul was a prisoner in the castle. The Lord spoke to him. Be of good courage, Paul. I like it when God talks like that. Be of good courage. You ever had God speak to you and say, hey, be of good courage? Man, that's a good word. Be of good courage, Paul. Just as you have spoken boldly for me in Jerusalem, you will speak boldly for me in Rome. Now, what is he doing? He's letting them know, hey, guys, I'm getting ready to take you to the center of the world, Rome. And Paul was encouraged by these words. For a long time, he'd wanted to go to Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, and preach the gospel there. Paul's enemies were not satisfied to leave him in prison. They wanted him killed. Four of them vowed to eat nothing until Paul was dead. Now, guys, you ever had somebody that vowed to fast until you were dead? I don't think so. They vowed not to eat anything until they'd killed Paul. They heard to tell the priests and the rulers of their plan. You can help us, they said, by asking the chief captain to send Paul here tomorrow, so you can question him further. While the soldiers are bringing him up to the castle, we will seize Paul and we will kill him. Guys, you can't make this up. This has been a great story, but except it's true. Paul's nephew heard about the plan. He hurried to the castle. At once, he told his uncle what the Jews were planning to do. He said, man, they got a plot against you. Quickly, Paul called one of his captains and said, hey, take this young man to the chief captain. He has something to report to him. Because Paul was a Roman citizen, they asked this, the chief captain took more interest in him. He knew the Jews had no evidence against him. They said when they heard their plan to kill Paul, he told his nephew, don't let anyone know you have told me this. With these words, he sent the young man away. At once, there was so much activity at the castle. The chief captain called two young men and told them to get ready to take Paul to Caesarea that night. To make sure Paul would be safe, they commanded the 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to accompany Paul. Now, let me say that real slow. They're going to sneak him out. They know he's a Roman citizen. They know he's being accused falsely. So what are you going to do? Well, we're going to take 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen to accompany Paul. Do what? Yeah, we got a ton of guys going to take this guy out of the city. This guy's special. We don't want to mess with him. So, when everything was ready, the captain wrote a letter to the Roman governor, Felix, at Caesarea, and explained why he was sending Paul. 9 o'clock that night, the sound of horses' hooves clattered on the pavement in front of the castle door. Paulus rode out and mounted on a horse. There were several army men that moved rapidly down the dark street. None of the Jews knew what these soldiers were doing. The next afternoon, Paul was brought safely to the Roman governor, Felix. He opened the letter the chief captain had written. These are the words that he said. "This man is a Roman who was taken by the Jews. They would have killed him if my soldiers and I had not rescued him. Then I brought him before the council of the Jews and found out why they accused him. But they could not make a charge worthy of death or even imprisonment. When I found out they were plotting to kill him, I sent him to you. I have commanded his accusers to come to you for this trial." To the trial, Felix and Paul was put in the palace that had been Herod's. Now, in Acts chapter 24, Paul's enemies were angry and found out that the chief captain had sent Paul out of the city safely. You understand? Hatred is an evil thing. There's no logic in it. There's no common sense to it. It's just an emotion. They arranged to go down to Caesarea and accuse Paul before Felix, the high priest, Jewish leaders, skillful lawyer named Tertullus, hurried down to Caesarea. They're sending their best lawyer. How bad do they hate you, Paul? Well, your enemies are sending their best lawyer to get you killed. Felix brought Paul before the council. He rose to speak. First, he flattered Felix in the hope that Felix would set aside the Jews, or he'd side with the Jews. He said, "Honorable Felix, by your leadership, we enjoy peace. Your good work is known in the province throughout the nation. We accept your leadership, most noble Felix, and we are very thankful. Now I do not want to bore you, but I pray that you will be kind enough to listen to a few words." Felix knew well how the Jews hated Roman officials. He was not fooled by their flattery. Then the guy began to speak about Paul. No longer did he speak in gracious words. Instead, he lashed out. "We have found this man Paul, a terrible troublemaker. He's caused trouble among the Jews throughout the world. He is a ringleader of a group known as the Nazarenes. When he attempted to dishonor our temple, we tried him according to our law, but the chief captain came and took him away from us by force. Now we come to you, most noble Felix, so we know what we have against Paul." And the Jews agreed and spoken all of them. Felix wanted to hear Paul's side of the story, so he motioned for Paul to speak. Paul finally speaks up. Now you guys stand, it's a courtroom, it's packed. These people hate Paul's guts, but Felix wanted to listen. "Hey, what's your side?" So Paul said, "Honorable Felix, you got to speak the right words. I speak for myself more cheerfully because you have known this nation for many years. You can easily find out that it was only 12 days ago that I went up to Jerusalem to worship God. Leaders did not find me stirring up the people. They seized me while I was alone in the temple. These men are now accusing me, and they cannot prove their charges. They condemn the way I worship God. Yet I believe that all written in the law of Moses and in the books of the prophets have always tried to keep my heart free from wrong toward God and man." As Felix listened, he knew the Jews didn't have any real charge of evidence against Paul. He said, "I will wait until Lysias comes and I'll find out more about the matter." With that, he dismissed the council. And so Felix commanded the captain to watch Paul, but allow him to have some liberty. So friends would come whenever they wanted to. Several days later, Felix heard from Paul again. He and his wife wanted to hear about the gospel of Christ. Now this is Felix and his wife. Both, he's brought his wife in this deal. As Paul earnestly spoke with him, Felix was convicted of his sins. Trembling. This is the key. Trembling, he told Paul, "Go away from now. What more time? I'll send for you later." 2 years went by. 2 years go by, and Paul is still a prisoner at Caesarea. Though he had many privileges, Felix called for Paul often, hoping to be bribed to be set to that Paul be set free. Even though he knew Paul did not deserve to be kept prisoner, he refused to let him go. So after 2 years, a new governor was appointed in Caesarea. To please the Jews, Felix left Paul in prison. Festus, the new governor, was not acquainted with the Jews' customs or religion, and after 3 days in Caesarea, he went to Jerusalem to learn more about the people he was to govern. As soon as Festus arrived in Jerusalem, the high priest and leaders of the Jews began to tell him about Paul. They tried to get Festus to send for Paul. If Paul was brought to Jerusalem, they planned to kill him. Festus said, "I'm going to go back to Caesarea, and you come down here and accuse him." 10 days later, Paul was brought before the Jews and Festus at Caesarea. But the Jews made many serious charges they could not prove. Paul said, I've not done anything against the Jews or against the temple or against Caesar. To do the Jews a favor, Festus asked Paul, are you willing to go to Jerusalem to be judged before me there? Paul answered, I stand before Caesar's judgment seat. To the Jews, I have done nothing wrong. As you very well know, if I have done anything worthy of death, I'm willing to die. But I appeal to Caesar. Festus knew that every Roman citizen had a right to appeal before Caesar, the head of the great Roman Empire. To Paul's request, Festus could give only one answer. You appeal to Caesar, and to Caesar you shall go. So, he's off and running. What happens? Well, he's going to go hear the story. So, you just realize the whole story of Paul is so fascinating. I wish they could get it condensed in just one good two-hour movie, you know, what he went through, the opposition he faced. This is the guy that's going to write two-thirds of the New Testament. You have the Holy Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all of it's God's anointed word. It's God's plan from the beginning of time in Genesis to the end in Revelation. All the books are important. You need to read all. You need to know all. You need to believe all. And so here we are in the New Testament. This guy, Paul, is going to write two-thirds of this New Testament. But he's not writing them now. He's just going through all kinds of stuff. And so the opposition is horrific, unbelievable. You couldn't make it up. It's like when you read about Paul's life, said, man, I've, in 2 Corinthians, man, I've been beaten. I've been stoned to death. I've been adrift at sea. I've been lied about. I mean, it's a list that you can't even imagine. For doing what? Did he do anything wrong? Did he do anything illegal? No. He's just preaching the gospel. There's opposition to the gospel, guys. That's why you have to persevere. You have to push through. That's why you have to pray for those in authority. You have to read the Bible, fellowship with the saints, meditate in the word of God day and night, Joshua 1:8, Psalms 1:1-3. You'll prosper if you'll meditate in the word. What's the word? It's the will of God. This is God's last will and testament. The old will, the new will. God's last will and testament. You know, if you've ever had a family member die, you've had to go before a court and go through, see an attorney. What are you going to do? It's the reading of the will. They're reading of the will of the person that's died. This person's will said this stuff that they had goes this person, this property they had goes this person, this business goes this person. It's their living will that they wrote before they died. So now the will's being enforced. Well, this is God's will for mankind. I'm going to send my son to earth. We knew in Genesis, right out of the chute, I'm going to send my son to earth to die for mankind. Then I'm going to raise him from the dead. Then I'm going to bring him to heaven. And I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. And we're going to build something called a church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So God's got a plan. There is opposition, but God's got a plan. We're going to win, but there's opposition. We're going to win, but there's stuff to be overcome. And that's what you get from the gospel. It's like, what is it? It's a war, but we win. We've read it in the book, and we win. So let's get our hearts encouraged. Get your Bible open at least 5 minutes a day. Read a proverb a day. Just read one proverb a day for a month. It'll change your life. You're going to realize God's good, devil's bad, people are stupid. Well, let's not stay stupid. Let's be educated. Let's let the knowledge of God fill our hearts. Let's start believing God every day of our life. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.